Jackie Hart. He might blow up and kill his plan. Can tell me live. He never really liked me anyway. Oh, tell your Aunt Louise, tell anything you please. Myself already knows I'm not okay. Oh, you can tell my eyes to watch out for my mind. It might be walking out on me today. But don't tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart. I just don't think it understands. And if you tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart, he might blow up and kill his man.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House at the briefing today signaling that the president plans to impose 25% tariffs on Mexico and Canada starting tomorrow. The White House says due to what the country is allowing the flow of drugs like fentanyl into the U.S.
There is reaction from the leaders of both Canada and Mexico after President Trump's threat to go ahead with 25% U.S. tariffs on imports from the two neighboring countries. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau saying the response from Canada will be immediate and forceful, adding, "We won't relent until tariffs are removed." And while Mexico's President Claudia Sheinbaum has said she doesn't think Trump will go through with the tariff, she said Mexico has Plan A, Plan B, and Plan C for what the U.S. government decides. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Efforts to recover debris from the Potomac River near Washington, D.C. continuing today following the mid-air collision between an American Eagle regional jet and that Army military helicopter. The NTSB says the airplane flight data recorders have been recovered. This is ABC News. Federal prosecutors filing a new indictment against music mogul Sean Diddy Combs. They say his alleged abuse of women started even earlier than they first thought. Humane societies around the country are warning about a new scam targeting desperate pet parents.
That's exactly what Jordan Myers of Austin did when her cat disappeared last month. This week, she got a call that appeared to come from the local Humane Society. Her cat had been found and was hurt.
They asked me for $3,100 for the surgery.
Before paying, she went to the animal shelter to learn that it was a ripoff. Sarah Hamill is with the Austin Humane Society.
We're never going to ask for somebody to pay for something ahead of time. We're in the business of saving lives.
She's seen a rise in this particularly cruel scam. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Google is testing a new artificial intelligence feature that will help you set up appointments and get information on services and pricing. For now, the feature called Ask for Me is only available for nail salons. Michelle Frank.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted a walk-up with central air and a skylight, and you found it. Now, every Friday night, you get to fall asleep to the sound of your downstairs neighbors' dance parties. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Business taxes. We're stressing about all the time and all the money you spent on your taxes.
This is my bill?
Now Business Taxes is a TurboTax small business expert who does your taxes for you and offers year-round advice at no additional cost, so you can keep more money in your business. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com/business. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Ayler. Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler picks up another endorsement to lead the Democratic National Committee. Former Speaker Nancy Pelosi has joined the growing list of Democrats to back Wickler to serve as DNC chair. Former Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer has endorsed Wickler, as have several Democratic governors. Pelosi says Wickler is the candidate best suited to lead to a stronger DNC and many Democratic victories. Winkler's challengers include former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, Minnesota State Party Chair Ken Martin, and Senator Bernie Sanders' former campaign manager Faiz Shakir. The DNC election takes place Saturday. A man accused of killing his two children in central Wisconsin last summer will go to trial.
Victor Manuel Gomez Acosta waived his right to a preliminary hearing on Wednesday before changing his plea to not guilty because of mental disease or defect. A judge then bound him over for trial. No trial dates were immediately set. The 30-year-old is accused of stabbing his children in their Abbotsford trailer home last summer. Investigators say he then stabbed his wife, who required surgery but survived the attack. He was treated and booked into the Clark County Jail, where he is being held on a $1 million bond. He was previously deemed incompetent for trial, but as of December 18th, officials say he can aid in his defense. Tom Schumacher, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The Goodyear blimp celebrates its 100th birthday in 2025, and to mark that occasion, the tire maker announced Wednesday that two of those airships will be a part of the 2025 EAA Air Venture Oshkosh. A release says the blimps will take part in flying activities during the afternoon and night air shows, and one will be parked near the EAA Aviation Museum during the duration of the event. Goodyear has sent the blimps to the Oshkosh gathering for over 50 years. The 72nd fly-in convention is scheduled for July 21st through the 27th at Whitman Regional Airport.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 80% of young producers said they get their most important agriculture information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you are in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Snow on the way in our Real Country 1430 forecast. We'll have plenty of sunshine today. Highs mid-40s, north winds at 5 to 15. Tonight, increasing clouds, lows low 20s. Tomorrow, 50% chance of afternoon snow, highs mid-30s. Be listening for coverage of Durand, Arkansas versus Glenwood City girls basketball tonight with the Advent Health Panther preview at 7. Tip-off at 7:15 here on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN and online at realcountry1430.com.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Oh, and the potential for tariffs on imports from our two biggest trading partners seem to be taking a step or two closer to reality. We'll talk egg prices, nomination hearings, trade of Mexican feeder cattle, cattle inventory, and more on this week's Free For All.
Live with the sunny side up via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our over-easy Free For All with panelists Jim Wiesmeyer from Pro Farmer and the Alberta Breeze from Real Ag Radio. That's Sean Haney. Directly following the news, Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork. I'm scrambled newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis.
Let me go back. I'm scrambled newsman Davis Michelson, and now the toast of AgriTalk, Chip Flory. Now we've got breakfast.
Awesome. Friday morning, and we've got breakfast served here on AgriTalk. Good stuff. Dude, it did something last night that it hasn't done for a while.
Well, what's that, Chip?
It rained.
Rained? I thought that, wow. Apparently, yeah. What's happening here is contagious because we had rain all night last night. I woke up to the sound of pouring rain.
Yeah.
Anyone?
Yeah, not pouring rain. Not pouring rain. It got the cement wet.
Okay.
Hey, we'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, boy, we've got a lot of ground to cover on the free-for-all today. Good grief. We are just two weeks into the Trump administration, and there is already movement on the potential for tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada. We'll get Jim's bottom line on that. They're set to take effect tomorrow.
Yes.
I mean, less than 2 weeks in, mm-hmm. to his term, and he may be initiating tariffs on our two biggest trade partners. So, it's It comes down then to the question of retaliation, and Canada has already indicated that they are going to retaliate, no question about that, with some in-kind tariffs. Now, we're going to get to the news here, but I'm just telling you, you guys, if you ever want to be jealous of a pork-eating feet, okay, then stay tuned for the conversation with Jennifer Scheich, because we've got quite the story coming up right after the news. Let's get to it.
Sure thing, Chip. Well, the National Weather Service is calling for precipitation to return to the West Coast, with an atmospheric river expected to bring heavy rain and flooding concerns to portions of central and northern California. Much-needed rainfall expected across the upper Tennessee Valley, southern Appalachians, and mid-Atlantic, with light wintry precipitation expected for New England. Above-average temperatures are expected across large sections of the country going into the weekend, with the exception being the northwest and northeast, where temperatures will be trending gradually below normal.
Heavy, heavy rains expected into some vulnerable areas of California, so we're going to need to keep an eye on that.
Well, Chip, continued talk by President Trump about hitting Mexico and Canada with 25% tariffs on Feb 1 paired gains in U.S. equity markets, but they still managed to come back into positive territory by the close. Gold rose to a record as investors flocked to safety. Bullion briefly topped $2,800 an ounce.
Yeah, Canadian dollar, Mexican peso sharply lower, and the U.S. dollar index is sharply higher this morning as well.
Well, Chip, President Trump's advisors are reportedly exploring ways to avoid those sweeping 25% tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico, despite his repeated threats to implement them by Saturday. Ongoing negotiations suggest a possible shift toward targeted measures, particularly affecting steel and aluminum, while oil may receive exemptions. The administration could announce those new tariffs by Saturday, but with a grace period before they're implemented to allow negotiations to continue. Meanwhile, President Trump has also threatened 100% tariffs on BRICS nations if they attempt to challenge the U.S. dollar's dominance in global trade.
Yeah, a lot happening on the trade front out there right now. We're going to dive deep into it in the free-for-all.
Well, and this may not soothe anything with the Canadians. Tom Holman, the new U.S. border czar, is expected to meet with Canada's top public safety official today. The meeting will offer Canada an opportunity to make a final pitch about its border efforts before Trump makes public his tariff decision. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum announced that the country's ag minister will join her Friday press briefing to discuss the halted exports of feeder cattle to the United States. Now, Chip, equine imports have resumed with added safeguards. That was on Jan 21. Former USDA Secretary Vilsack, before leaving office, urged Mexico to take further action to restore full trade. That's on the feeder cattle side.
Yeah, it's got to be the effort to quarantine south of the border and quarantine north of the border. The facilities that is going to take is unbelievable.
Well, Chip, Russ Vaught is one step closer to leading the Office of Management and Budget again, as the Senate Budget Committee voted 11-0 along party lines to advance his nomination. The vote, made up entirely of Republicans, followed a Democratic boycott of the meeting. I wonder what Wiesmeyer knows about that. That's interesting.
Yeah, we'll find out. Yep.
Yeah. Well, the Senate on Thursday confirmed former North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum as Secretary of the Interior in a 79-18 vote, positioning him to implement President Trump's energy agenda. Burgum, a strong advocate for expanded fossil fuel production, aims to open more public lands to oil, gas, and coal while dismantling offshore wind development. And USDA's released new guidelines for the return of personnel to in-person work. Telepolicies will be revised. Most employees are required to work full-time in office unless exempted. Agency heads reserve the right to grant those exemptions. Chip.
All right, Davis, thank you very much. Hey, let's get her in here. Jennifer Scheich, editor, Farm Journal's Pork. Hey, Jennifer, what in the world? What is this about some guy eating a tenderloin in each of Iowa's 99 counties? Is that right?
That's right. And he did it in 10 months. And I mean, I love tenderloins. I should have done the math to figure out what that actually looks like. But J.J. Goodvin is the Iowa Gallivant, and he serves as their chief explorer, is what he calls himself. And he travels all over the state of Iowa and actually beyond, but really has a passion for rural America. He was a chef, or has been a chef in his life. So he goes around and he just does all these really cool things. He also did one called like Iowa's Worst Road Trip, which I'm super excited to talk to him about, here in the future, because it was all about casing the state for the best sausage. And so he's just a hoot, but yeah, he was trying to shine a light on the pork tenderloin. He thinks it's one of the most perfect sandwiches. And so, really, really fun to visit with him about what he was looking for. He gave me a little insight, but he's announcing his favorite tenderloin of all 99 counties on February 13th. So I'm staying tuned to find out what that is. And
yeah.
All he could tell me was, it's got to be hot. And I, don't you agree? Like, a lukewarm tenderloin is just not good.
No, well, no, it's
kind of got to burn your mouth.
It does have to be hot. There's no question about that. What an accomplishment. I mean, we're talking about 10 tenderloins per month.
I know. It's crazy. And he's like, how many people go to Hedrick, Iowa and shoot a TikTok, you know? And so he's really shining a light on some really great places in the state of Iowa and just reminds us there's a lot of wonderful food and places to get to know all over. You're not limited to the big cities to find that. So
I can't believe he went out there and did that and didn't invite me along. It's really, really disappointing. Really disappointing.
I think you guys would be good friends.
Jennifer Scheich, editor, Farm Journal's Pork, get this story and a whole bunch more at www.porkbusiness.com.
You set high expectations for yourself, and so do we. As America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agricultural and educational event, Commodity Classic has held record-breaking shows 2 years in a row, keeping you at the top of your game with a world-class trade show and inspiring education designed by farmers for farmers. Commodity Classic is elevating excellence in agriculture as we visit Denver for the first time in 2025. Join us March 2nd through 4th and discover more at commodityclassic.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Okay, antibody.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Tax season is here. Don't pay more than you have to. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Ag
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, simplifying land loans to help family farms build a stronger financial future. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
She complicated. Lift me
up. All right, welcome to the free-for-all here on AgriTalk. Let's get it going. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We've got Davis Michelson with us as well.
Hello.
Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. I'm back from Memphis Cotton and Rice, Columbus, Ohio, crop insurance meeting, and corn and soybean meeting in Michigan, Chip.
Okay. All right. Well, it's good to hear that you're back home, at least for a little bit. You've you're back out on the road next week, right?
Sunday, San Diego, sugar beets, and later on in the week, Crop Insurance Research Bureau in Bonita Springs, Florida.
Oh, San Diego and Florida.
Rider? Yeah, does he have like a rider in his contract where it has to be above a certain temperature?
It appears to be the case.
Michigan had cold. They had snow all over when I was there, but it was actually good weather when I was there. I bring it.
Oh, good. You're bringing it with you? Just packing it along? I got you. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Where do your travels take you this time of the year, Haney?
This week I was out in Nova Scotia and Newfoundland in Atlantic Canada. Enjoyed that. And next week, Jim's going to the Sunshine, and I'm going to be in Ontario, Saskatchewan, and Alberta, different events. So, yeah, I need the rider that Jim has.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Well, I'm going to make a trip down to San Antonio next week. Big Apple Joe and I are going to be down there for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association Convention. Looking forward to being down there and talking cattle for a week. It should be a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
I got one, too. I'm going to Wisconsin next week.
Scanny.
I'll be up in Wisconsin addressing the audience there. Looking forward to it. It's going to be great.
Very good. Very good. All right. I'm just going to pull from the headlines to get us started, and I think the biggest, most impactful headline that we're looking at right now is about the tariffs, isn't it, Jim?
It is, and you know, I got up even for me extra early to figure out a way that Pro Farmer printed letter can get covered on this and be okay, and that's when I came up with the questions, Chip. Will the tariffs be enacted Feb 1? What authority is going to be used? Will there be any last minute agreement with Canada and or Mexico? Is there a possible shift toward targeted measures? Will oil have exemption? And there would there be a grace period to enable more negotiations, even if he announced tariffs? I think that'll cover us right there.
Okay. You know, the thing is, these tariffs are supposed to go into effect tomorrow, and we've still got all those questions.
Yes.
I'm not sure what having all those questions means. To me, it suggests that there is a better than 50-50 odds that the tariffs aren't going to happen.
That's what, even though you've got currency impacts in the market and the grains affected, I'll tell you, the financial traders don't think it'll happen, at least the ones I talked with. Now, Tom Holman, as we said on the news, is meeting with Canada. Sean, have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, so Holman's going to be meeting with Canada Foreign Affairs Minister Melanie Joly. I think that's a bit of a signal here. You know, the threat again yesterday, that meeting happens today. And this is maybe me hoping, okay? But what we see is we use that is used as a way to back down. You know, Canada's listened to us, or, you know, we've given them another 2 weeks. I kind of agree that the timeline here is incredibly tight. If there are significant tariffs put on tomorrow, on February 1st, it's going to put such pressure on people that are actually having to execute on this. I agree. I think the market is sort of saying, yeah, I'm not too sure if this is actually going to go through.
Okay. Jim, what are the goals here? What is the Trump administration looking to accomplish?
Well, from the get-go, he has said secure the border and also illicit drugs, fentanyl, et cetera. Now, the countries, both Mexico and Canada, and Sean, you can back me up, have offered more than a few things, you know, within those two topics. But then overall, Trump keeps saying, look, there are other tariffs involved here in the case of Canada, not tariffs, but their dairy policy, et cetera, and he wants reciprocity. That's really their goals, Chip. Treat us fair.
I think that's been one of the indicators here, too, is that it has been there has been a lack of like succinctness or detail on what the actual ask is. To suggest that the fentanyl coming into the U.S. from Canada is equivalent to Mexico is really kind of honestly is a real stretch. And, you know, I heard Lutnick's commentary, you know, and he mentioned that Canada and Mexico are being disrespectful to the U.S. You know, Canada could push back here pretty hard and be like, you know, there's a lot of illegal guns that come from or cocaine that come from the U.S. and come into Canada. That's just a disrespect. Like, what are we talking about here? At the end of the day, a lot of it is appearance. And this, you know, Canada suggesting now they're going to put a border czar in place. Well, they already have a safety minister, so that's optics. Canada has said they're going to put $1.3 billion to increase border security. I've seen the Black Hawk helicopters flying. I live close to the border. I've seen these new Black Hawk helicopters flying back and forth. So there's things that are being done. I guess it comes down to the fact if Canada and the U.S. actually want to do business together. Does the U.S. want to get potash out of Canada, or do they want to buy it from Russia? That's the decision you got to make.
Yeah, that's part of it. That is definitely part of it. And the other big part of it is energy trade. And, Jim, could there be a carve-out for crude oil?
There could be. Now, Trump was saying Thursday that he was going to make that decision. Well, they haven't announced anything yet. So I just think overall this is what Sean said. You saw in the Colombia one, he initially announced the tariffs, and by within about 5 hours after announcing it, they had an agreement with Colombia. Yeah. We could see the same thing with both Canada and Mexico. We'll see.
Okay. Yeah. And the U.S. Midwest is the most exposed to a tariff on Canadian energy.
I would think, because of the impact on gasoline prices and the fact that Canada is a big-time customer of ethanol. I would assume that there's going to be where I wanted to go next was let's assume that the tariffs are implemented. What's the retaliation look like from Canada's point?
Well, that's where there's not a lot of agreement. Okay, there's a lot of split opinions on that in Canada. There's people talking about an export tariff where, hey, you want to buy Canadian energy, America? You know, there's going to be a 25% tariff on that leaving the country. There's talk about cutting off energy altogether as an example. But there's a lot of detailed challenges with all of that. There's the tit for tat. You know, Canada applies tariffs on specific targeted goods to really impact some states that will be able to have some sway with the president to change his mind. I think it's all on the table. Some people believing need to do all of that as a measure. All of this just hurts the consumers in both countries and the economies of both countries at the end of the day.
Yeah, then we'd have to import more oil from Venezuela. Go through that one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the interesting part here is that the message that President Trump is giving this week and has been is suggesting that the Mexico and Canada are somehow worse to the U.S. than some of these other countries that are actually doing nefarious things. It's mistargeted anger to what the real battle is here, which is China and Brazil, to be honest with you.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, Jim, what about Mexico? I would assume there would be retaliation from Mexico as well.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And they can get at it. They buy a lot of our hams, etc. And then the fruits and vegetables that we get from there, boy, they'll really go high, and they're perishable. You just can't front load them. So, and I don't know how, I doubt if this has any relationship with the screwworm thing. You'll be down at NCBA. There's a rumor that, we could have an announcement while you're there. Their president is given a presser, maybe as we speak. I don't know. There could be some news break on that this week as well.
Right. You could argue Mexico has more leverage than Canada does. One point on Mexico is the significant purchases at a farm country. And the other part about it is what's Mexico's leverage in regards to how they manage that border? Immigration is a critical, critical promise that President Trump has made. What does Mexico do in response to some of these Trump tariffs in that regard?
Okay. All right, so number one question is, will the tariffs actually be implemented? Number two on the question on my list is the retaliation. And number three is how long this whole trade tiff might last. If it lasts a relatively short period of time, is it really that much of a disruption? We're going to keep it going next here on AgriTalk.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Individuals like you. So that through our combined efforts, more patients and their loved ones will see that even though cancer may interrupt the journey, it doesn't have to determine the destination. The fight against cancer never stops. Thankfully, new and promising treatments can help save lives now. Let's go further together. Find out how you can join the mission. Learn more at standuptocancer.org/AA.
Attention all egg producers. It's the 2025 Chippewa Valley Egg Conference Thursday, February 20th from 9 to 3:30 at Florian Gardens, Eau Claire. This full-day event presented by Security Financial Bank features a keynote address by ag strategist Doug Johnson, breakout sessions on tax planning, dairy market updates, and more, plus a panel discussion on modern ag challenges and opportunities. Registration is $30 and includes lunch. Register by February 13th. Visit sfbank.com for registration information. SFB, member FDIC. I see. Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, February milk down 35 to 2007, March down 51 to 1950, April down 35 to 1943, May milk down 18 at 1945. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live and feeder cattle markets moving mostly higher as cash cattle markets were $6 to $7 higher in the south, $2 higher in the north. Box beef prices are higher, and that's helped live and feeder cattle markets resume the rally. Meanwhile, hog markets, they are moving mostly higher as well. We have seen some strength in some of the pork cutout values. That's continuing to support the markets, even though they are at resistance levels. February live cattle up 35 cents to 204.82. March feeder cattle up 205 to 275.25. February hogs up 37 cents to 84.75. Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets moving mostly lower on the initial confirmation of tariffs as well, helping to pressure the markets. Ethanol margins are expected to see further pressure on concerns over exports to Canada with reports of a plant now being idled in Minnesota. Meanwhile, soybean futures moving mostly higher today. Now, South American weather continues to be there in its recent pattern. The Brazilian harvest is continuing to slowly, at least, to move forward, but beans moving higher. Wheat markets are mostly lower as the trade is consolidating at the upper end of the trading range. New crop corn down 2.25 to 462. New crop beans are steady.
There's no such thing as too much caring. That's why Gunderson Health System and Bellin Health have come together to form Amplify Health. The same doctors you trust, the same hospitals and clinics you count on, the same great care, all amplified by an even higher focus on empathy. Amplify Health is more than just a new name. It's a way to make personalized care more personal than ever. Amplify Health by Gunderson. A little empathy changes everything.
When it comes to farming and family, the most important thing is laying down roots. Hey, it's Matthew from Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi, and we want to help you grow your roots. From planting to harvest, we can help you lay your foundation through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and great service. We know how to help because we know Bluff Country. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of strong roots in the community and the relationships we build. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Affiliate stations or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the free-for-all. We've got Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, Davis Michelson, and me. Guys, I don't want to move past the Mexican feeder cattle situation too quickly here. Jim, as you said, we might, hopefully we will know more about this next week. But this has turned into a situation where the exports of the calves out of Mexico have been delayed long enough that they put them on feed. Now they might not make their way into the Texas feedlots. These could be lost cattle. Now, they could come back when it's time to get them processed. We got to remember that, right?
Yes, yes. And that's what our industry is telling us, Chip, that there's going to be a continued impact, even if we do get a resolution. And even an announcement, even if it comes today, again, the Mexico's president is going to have a presser today about this, and she brought her ag secretary with her. So she must have something she wants to say. That could be, again, a phased-in sort of approach. We'll have to see. But it looks like something's going to be coming out relatively soon.
Okay. All right. You know, we can talk beef prices, but we need to talk egg prices in particular and grocery prices in general. We had Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nag on the show earlier this week. And we talked about bird flu and the impact on egg supplies. And it really is a supply side situation that we're dealing with here, guys. And one that's going to take time to fix, right, Jim?
Absolutely. And we've seen over the years, not just months, years, that we almost get a handle on the bird flu situation, and then it comes roaring back. So this thing has more than a few legs with it, despite what I think was a knee-jerk response by the White House initially this week. But trying to blame the Biden administration and USDA for killing so many of the poultry on that. That was just a silly, well, like I said, it was laying an egg, you know, in my story on it. It's just going to take time. I will tell you, though, that Kevin Hassett, who heads up the National Economic Council, is really taking a look at this. So it's got White House attention, Chip, on this topic.
Yeah. Yeah. It, laying an egg is, I like that title, Jim. I thought the comments that were made by Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt were, it's kind of where populism and commercial agriculture sort of collide, not on the same page. Could you imagine if the depopulation didn't happen? And the science does have a bit of a say here. Like, we don't like the fact that depopulation, do you think the producers, like, we're happy about the come on. The intent here was to raise, like, this is not an inflationary policy from any administration. This is what science says. This is disease mitigation.
Yeah, I felt like she did a really nice job, and then she added on. That's what we're dealing with so many times. It's the add-on. And, of course, that's the Biden administration's fault. And, of course, those policies are what caused the food inflation. It's the add-ons. She did a nice job of saying, listen, we had to depopulate these animals and in an effort to get the virus under control. There it is. We had to depopulate the animals to get the virus under control, and now we're dealing with a shortage of eggs.
This is Trump 101. Like, the appearance that we're doing something. We're going to have an investigation because this, there's, you know, this is like, I can't believe what the Biden administration was doing. And then 3 weeks from now, somebody's going to say, yeah, well, the proper protocols were followed. Like it's making something out of like, and I don't say nothing because this is a huge issue.
Oh yeah.
I thought that Mike Nagy did a fantastic job. He was honest about the severity of this situation and the strain they're dealing with right now.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, if you don't have these containment measures and the depopulation, it spreads faster because of the wild the wild bird issue is a big one. Yep. And then you have more compensation to backfill the income of the producers, which ends up costing the taxpayer more money. Yeah. Like it's in the taxpayer's best interest that this depopulation is happening to the extent that it is.
Yeah.
Why doesn't Brazil have bird flu?
I don't know.
Are you sure they
don't? I got to check into that.
We definitely have it in Canada for the exact same reasons, fighting the exact same issues. Now, our barns are like the scale of the industry is not as big in Canada. So, you know, if a barn is infected, you're not depopulating as many birds.
Right.
In comparison, the U.S. industry is huge. I don't know about Brazil.
Yeah, that could be a reporting issue down there, too. I mean, I'm sure they've got issues that we just don't know about in Brazil and so on. But the bottom line from Secretary Nag was when we're dealing with a virus like this, it feels like we are always chasing, trying to get in front of it and gain control. And that is exceptionally difficult to do, especially when we're talking about a virus that can morph and change how it infects those birds and beef and bovines and you know other mammals that it is impacting now. So we just need to stay on top of this, and we're going to need some warmer temperatures. It does help. It does help to.
And it looks like the turkey industry wants to go to the vaccine route from what I'm reading, Chip.
Exactly.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. And we talked about that with Secretary Nag as well. Then we need to talk about some trade issues. And he did a really nice job of explaining that, you know, the layer in the breeding bird industry or segments look at vaccines differently than the broiler segment of the industry might look at things. So yeah, there's some ground to cover. Nomination hearings. Let's move on. Jim, what's your take? Where do you want to start with the nomination hearings?
Well, RFK Jr. I think it's going to be up to probably one senator, Republican Cassidy from Louisiana, a doctor, by the way. He can go either way on this one. I think I'm counting 6 Republicans against him, and that means he doesn't have it. So he's going to have to convince some.
Well, and here's the crazy part, is they didn't even get to all the things that RFK Jr. said over time.
Well, sure. He's a lawyer. Of course, they can't get to everything that he said on these issues over time.
The issue with Cassidy is it has to do with vaccines causing autism. I believe is what he was pressing him on. They were going to meet over the weekend here and discuss further. RFK.
I don't know what his status is. If he's going to get the votes or not, I can't get a good read on it. But I had to guess right now, he's going to miss it. Jim, yes,
That's the drift lately. Yeah. I would say on his first, he had what over 3-hour hearings for 2 days. So it's you've just got too many Republicans who are going to vote against him. I think now,
right?
Where initially I thought he would. I thought he would get in, but we'll have to see. If Cassidy changes, then he could bring a couple more over, but we'll see. He can lose 3 Republican votes. That's it.
Right.
A lot of what I heard, they spent a lot of time on the vaccinations and the CDC and stuff like that. Did they get to seed oils very much in those hearings?
No, not that I saw.
Yeah.
No.
Not that I saw. So, and that is really interesting because when you talk about support for President Trump in farm country. It's very high. It's very high. And there are many, many producers that say, listen, if we're going to give him a chance to get his job done, then we need to give him the cabinet that he wants. And if RFK is somebody that he wants in his cabinet, he should get it. I did get this note from a listener. He says, if RFK would keep in his own lane, I'd feel better about him being in the cabinet. He will constantly be trying to get our pesticides off the market. And I don't think there's any question about that, that he's going to look to change commercial agriculture and how commercial ag operates. Jim, am I off base? Yeah.
No, he'll be like an octopus. He'll you know, try to get throughout the government on that one. And wherever I go in my speeches, this is a concern that I'm hearing about him. You know, yeah, that they're already under the gun on inputs and the lack thereof. So he'll just add to their concerns.
Well, and tie it to the issue we were just talking about with the bird flu, for example. You know, it create, you know, using that situation as leverage to have a anti-CAFO movement and pushing that side of the narrative. So it's not just about pesticides and access. It's about really how businesses are structured and how they operate on from a scale perspective that I think he would also provide a bit of a target to, which is going to also be a threat to the industry.
Right, right. Only a minute left here, or about 30 seconds left here, but I will say this. The new cabinet member, Sean Duffy in transportation, Pete Hegseth in defense, have already been put to a test by a horrific event in D.C. Jim, what's your thoughts?
They're both articulate, and you saw that. And breaking news, officials have restricted helicopters near Reagan National Airport in the wake of that deadly mid-air collision.
Oh, yeah. We said it yesterday. Say it again. Our thoughts, prayers go out to anybody, everybody that has been affected, and just a tragic event that we need to get some answers to, and it's going to take a little bit of time to get the answers that we need. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the nominees and the hearings coming up next here on AgriTalk.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. Every day, ZipRecruiter helps people who are actively looking for jobs like yours, so it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Something amazing is happening. Despite a citywide blackout, this company is still up and running. That's because CDW deployed and managed a cost-effective Eaton TripLite Series SmartPro UPS to safeguard equipment easily and reliably. Keep the power on and protect your IT equipment from electrical challenges. TripLite by Eaton and CDW. Make amazing happen. Find out more at cdw.com/triplite.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group. And I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney or if I look like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare without me being an attorney. And I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call, and you will not talk to an attorney. And I guarantee if we take you as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free information kit. 800-714-9090. 800-714-9090. 800-714-9090.
Rosemary Sifford, USDA Chief Veterinary Officer, joins us right now. Dr. Sifford, give us an update on the status of African swine fever and what it means for the U.S. pork industry.
African swine fever is a really deadly disease that can decimate pig populations, and it has been doing so globally, which has led to pork shortages and dramatically increasing pork prices in some parts of the world. Since the United States is one of the world's largest pork producers and the second largest exporter of pork globally, it is really important to us to make sure to keep this disease out of the United States. If it gets into the United States, it's estimated that it would cost us over $74 billion over 10 years. So because we recognize how important the pork industry is to the United States and how important pork is to many cultures, we want to ensure that pork can continue to be a part of people's family recipes by preventing African swine fever from entering the U.S. and from having impacts on our pork supply.
Yeah, and it's to prevent the disease, but it's really a long-term investment in the success of the U.S. pork industry, isn't it?
Absolutely. Biosecurity measures are the primary ways that producers can prevent all sorts of diseases from reaching their herds, and that helps them to protect against significant financial loss and ensures the stability of the pork supply chain. It can also help to foster consumer confidence in the safety and quality of U.S. pork, which strengthens the domestic markets and enhances our global competitiveness. So it's really important, and it is an investment in the future overall for producers to put together strong biosecurity plans, prepare themselves with the tools and knowledge and training to keep their operations running smoothly so they can handle the challenges of African swine fever or other novel diseases that might enter.
Excellent perspective, Dr. Sifford. Thank you so much. That is Dr. Rosemary Sifford, USDA Chief Veterinary Officer.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and AgDay's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
I don't know what you're thinking.
So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back. We are going to wrap up this week's free-for-all. We've got Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio, Davis and me. Okay, real quickly, Doug Burgum also confirmed as the Interior Secretary. And then, Jim, we talked with Troy Bredenkamp from RFA, Renewable Fuels Association, about Lee Zeldin, who was affirmed as the administrator at the Environmental Protection Agency. Troy, they seem to be optimistic that liquid fuels, including biofuels, have a future. Is that the right take?
Well, I think that's true, but too, I think he also said, and it was entirely accurate, that EPA is not the final say on the biofuel decisions. That's an interagency decision, including the White House. So I've always said on EPA administrators, Democrat or Republican, I trust them, but I want to see what they announce because they change.
I guess I'm cautiously optimistic for biofuels under Trump 2.0. I mean, I look back at what happened under 1.0 with the small refinery exemptions and just the constant battle that was. And I saw President Trump on stage in his first administration more than a couple of times saying, yeah, E15 is going to be nationwide available. And we're still fighting that fight. So,
well, I'll tell you, when you go out to farm country, Chip, an increasing topic is what about trade policy? We don't have new trade agreements. We got to utilize these crops and livestock. You do it more domestically, and that's through biofuel programs.
He's got to walk. Good. He's got to walk the talk. He has talked about, you know, being pro biofuel. He's got to walk it now, and I think people, you know, the industry will hold him account to it and make sure he stays on that line.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Secretary of State Rubio is going to Panama on Sunday. Jim,
I mean, the control of the Panama Canal is going to be right at the top of the list of things they talk about, right?
Yeah, he's been going to Panama, El Salvador, Guatemala, Costa Rica, Dominican Republic. It's a big trip. And now the Panamanian president, who is it, Molino, has said Panamanian sovereignty over the canal is indisputable. So it'll be curious what they come out with in a statement once their talks are over on Sunday, Chip. But it's going to be the status and operation of that Panama Canal and China's influence in the region that's got to be dealt with.
Yeah, of all of President Trump's imperialistic tendencies in Trump 2.0, you know, you look at, you know, Canada and Greenland. I think the Panama one is it seems to be the most reality based, and it's not about taking over control. I think it's about trying to keep China out and making sure that stays a very strategic asset for the United States, whether that's military wise and passing through, or that's you shipments like soybeans.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Agree.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like I've said a couple of times, China has responded and reacted to this. There's some smoke coming out of it. So it would indicate to me that there is some reality in the concerns that the administration has expressed. And hey, I don't want China controlling who gets in and out of the Panama Canal either. So let's get it straight. Let's get it figured out, and let's get it in writing so that we can move forward with some trade through the Panama Canal. Okay. Fed kept interest rates steady this week, Jim. Pause is the policy on monetary policy. What's that mean for us?
That means that you probably won't have any change until at least June, and then depending on what happens in these tariffs, because the Fed's going to have to watch implications if they are indeed implemented for some of the reasons we said. It'll increase inflation, no doubt about it.
Okay. You know, I found myself during the press conference with Jay Powell after the meeting saying, he's saying too much. Well, I think we can look at President Trump, and I'm wondering the same things. I mean, he is making himself available to the press, and it certainly rivals Trump 1.0. He hasn't backed away from that plan at all, has he?
No, not at all. But, you know, our good friend, Dr. Vince Belonga, LaSalle Economics, thinks that the Fed has become too political. So you might want to have Vince back on to say, hey, you know, where is this issue going?
Well, I'm glad you said that, because if you want to listen to his thoughts on that, you can go to Tuesday's AgriTalk and listen to the conversation that we had with Vince.
So, did he say on the politics or not?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Okay, absolutely. Good. Absolutely.
But with the Fed not lowering this week, is that a political, like, how is that political? If they had lowered based on pressure from the White House, that would be political.
Yeah. Vince is pointing at the commentary coming from the Fed in particular, because and you know, I went back and looked at some of the comments, and there is no question that Powell during the Biden administration was very much in the we don't know what's going to happen on fiscal policy, therefore it's something that we don't even consider.
Yes.
That's the change. It's something that we don't even consider. Now he's saying we've got to wait and see what the implications of the fiscal policies of the Trump administration are going to be before we can make these decisions. So, you know, we talk about subtle changes in Fed talk all the time. This one was at least a subtle change in the Fed talk, and something that we're going to have to watch going forward.
Well, I want to remind everybody, it's only week two. only week two.
Oh, Jim, did you find time to rest in week two?
I had to get up at 3 o'clock this morning to go through emails.
No.
Yeah,
I gotcha. Cattle inventory report coming this afternoon. We heard a little bit about that from Brian Grady. It's going to be a big deal. We're going to have to take a really close look at beef heifer retention numbers there. Oh, man. And the Fed employees, we're going to find out next week how many of them are coming back to work or not. You guys, great job. Always a great job. Another fun conversation. Jim Wiesmeyer, pro farmer policy analyst. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Dwayne Bussey from Bolt Marketing right here on AgriTalk.
As a grower, when you take out a land loan from FBN Finance, you're borrowing more than money. You're borrowing expertise from loan advisors who are often farmers themselves. You're borrowing loan technology that makes smart decisions faster and easier. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day. And we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hour.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House says President Trump will start imposing tariffs tomorrow on China, Canada, and Mexico.
President Trump's